If you have your Bibles, be turning to the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read two verses from the book of Joshua. Chapter 7 that Gabe had read. I'm going to make a few comments. And I hope at some point by the end of this message, maybe that you'll understand why we read that chapter. But in Joshua chapter 7, verse 24, it said, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day.' And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones." The first time I heard this Bible story, I was about 10 or 11 years old in Sunday school. And I'll never forget, I never forgot this passage. I did not understand this passage. I could see why Achan would be stoned and put to death. That made sense to me. But why was his daughters stoned? While Achan, no doubt, was in battle and had taken the gold and the silver and the treasures and had brought it into his home and had put it in his tent, no doubt those daughters were probably laboring about the house helping their mothers. I can see them carrying the water pots and maybe washing the clothes. And Achan's sons, they were probably tending to the herds and the sheep. But when judgment came on Achan's house. And as a young boy, I remember that. And I wondered, why was those children killed with Achan? I knew that God was just, even as a young boy. But I did not know why that they had been stoned. And to be honest, my Sunday school teacher didn't either. Now, I'm going to skip forward now to the time that I was about 25, 28 years old. And here in Romans chapter 5 is the first time, I believe, in my life that I ever really heard a gospel message. And for the first time in my life, I began to understand some things about the scripture. And my learning began here in Romans chapter 5. And what would happen after I had learned here in Romans 5, I could be reading somewhere else. And I would think, that's what that says in Romans chapter 5. Or I could be reading somewhere else, and then I would realize, Romans chapter 5. And for me, all passages in the scripture, as I begin to learn the gospel, and as I begin to read this word, everything started tying back to Romans chapter 5. So even today, some of you will hear me talk about Romans chapter 5, because it was so important to me. And that's why I want to try to bring a message to you tonight here. So let's read the passage beginning in verse 8, and we won't read the whole chapter, but let's read beginning in verse 8, Romans chapter 5. "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, and it, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall be many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's a lot there to take in. And as you look at this passage of what I read, I was going through here, and there's some common words that you'll see. One and many. And when we're talking about the one, it's always in this passage, it's either talking about Adam or the Lord Jesus Christ. Either him, our Lord, or Adam. And then when it's speaking of the many, it's either speaking of all men, without exception, or it's speaking of those that are in Christ. So you have the one, either our Lord or Adam, and then you have the many, which are those that are redeemed and those that are born of Adam. And I was going to go through here to try to prepare for this message and highlight and use one color, and I found out this whole page would be highlighted. And I actually printed it out. And I thought, well, I'm going to show them. All the blues there is the many's, and the yellows are the ones. There's 21 ones and 19 many's. So that's what this chapter is about. It's about the many being either those that are in Christ, or those born of Adam, or the one being either Christ or Adam. Okay? So, verse 11. Let's look at verse 11. And we'll begin there. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we find here, we, the many, also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one, by whom we, the many, have received the atonement. Now, this is talking about God's salvation, God's atonement. Now, look at verse 12. Wherefore? Now, what's that word, wherefore? Why is it there? Well, a lot of you probably have heard about Henry saying this, but when there's a wherefore in the Word of God, you want to see what it's there for. So let me give some context of the wherefore. Okay, so when it says wherefore, what it's saying is, how have we, the many, received the atonement by one? That's what the therefore is for, wherefore is for. How can one save many? Wherefore, the ground or reason something is done. Wherefore also means on this account or by reason of. This, wherefore, what is going to come after this is the mystery of the ages explained. Okay? That mystery. Now, we just read that this is how the atonement is received. Job said this, and that's the mystery. How can man be just with God? Job said, or it said in Job, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? That was a mystery at one time. Job 14:4 says this, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And the answer was not one, no one. So you see the mystery. And right here, we're going to have the answer. Paul, the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 6, 19 says this, and for me, in speaking of his ministry, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What's that mystery? How is the atonement received? How can man be just with God? And that's what Romans chapter 5 is going to tell us. In Romans 16, verse 25, Paul says this, now to him that hath power to establish you according to my gospel and to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. This redemption, this atonement, was a mystery. And right here in Romans chapter 5, we're being told what this mystery is. And the answer, how can man be just with God? How can we receive the atonement? How are we saved? It's the explanation of the mystery. Let's read now verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man... Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So now, we're beginning, we know, that death and sin came by Adam. Adam was the first, and Adam brought sin into the world. So, and we know, according to this verse, for that all have sinned. Adam sinned. And we, in practice, have also sinned. So we are guilty of sin by practice. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, of things that I would not that I do. So sin is in us, and sin manifests itself in us. But we are also guilty by association. Let's read verses 13 and 14. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him to come. So what is this saying? Well, sin was in the world from Adam to Moses, okay? But there was no law. So how can there be sin when there's not law? So Adam sinned, and then, of course, he had his children. They had their children. And that happened. Life happened all the way to the time of Moses. But there was no law to condemn them. It says they didn't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. In other words, They didn't do what Adam did. The Lord told Adam, "In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Don't eat of the fruit." What did Adam do? He took of the fruit and ate it. He disobeyed God and he died. Well, what did they do? They didn't take of the fruit. They didn't eat of it. Yet they died. And that's what this passage here is telling us. They didn't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. It's kind of like this. How can I receive a speeding ticket, or you receive a speeding ticket, if there's no speed limit? There's no speed limit on that road. How can you be stopped and charged with speeding if there's not a speed limit? Well, that's what this is saying here. There was no law. Yet these other men died. You see, they were guilty by association. That's what verse 14 is saying. And there wasn't a law from the time of Adam until the time of Moses, but everybody died, even though they themselves didn't disobey God in the garden. So let's give an analogy. How did they die? That's why the wherefore is there, to explain these things. So let's start with this analogy. A month or so ago, I was at Obie and William's house. And Obie was taking me through the house, and I think it was in Abram's room. Well, there on Abram's desk was what's called a Russian nesting doll. I don't know if you know what that is, but maybe if I explain it, you will. So imagine a figurine about this big. They're kind of shaped like an egg, and they're made kind of like these Easter eggs that you take apart. So here's our, and they're got faces painted on them, and their clothes are painted on them. Well, you can take that nesting doll, and if you twist it, you can take the top off of it. And right inside that one is another one. So you can take it out and sit it down. Now you got two. Well, you can take the one that you just took out and open it up. There's another one. You take it out, put it back together. Now you got three. Well, you take that third one and the same thing. And some of these nesting dolls can have 30, 40, 50 dolls inside that one. Okay? So that's the analogy, or the illustration I want to use. When Adam was in the garden, you was in Adam. And all these men that died from Moses, or from Adam until Moses, they died because they was guilty inside of Adam. Our nesting doll is here. If I knock that doll off on the floor, what happens to it? It hits the floor. What happens to all those dolls inside of it? They hit the floor with it. Whatever happens to that outward doll happens to the ones that's inside that doll. And so that's what happened to us in the garden. When Adam was condemned, we was condemned in Adam. Now you're a sinner by practice, and I'm a sinner by practice. I know that because the law has come. But before the law came, we were sinners in Adam. The judgment that came down on Adam came down on everybody in here. Death. Curse. Death. Now, let's look back at our verse, at verse 14, and it says this: "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Now listen to this: "Who is a figure of him that was to come." Adam was a figure of him that was to come. What does that mean? Just like Adam was the head of his people, our Lord Jesus Christ, just like Adam, is going to be the head of his people. Here in our own fall lies the answer to the mystery of how we are redeemed. Vile, ruined sinners are put into Christ. The sinful was put in the sinless. And the imperfect was put inside the perfect. Really, they were always there. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's read verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, we were put in Christ before we were ever in Adam. Really, there never was a time that his people was not in him. They've always been in him. Now, how is it that Christ can redeem us? On what principle can Christ redeem us? Christ was not in Adam. Remember our illustration in our doll? You take that doll apart, Christ isn't in there. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You see, our Lord did not come from Adam. His father was God. We're condemned in Adam, but he was not. The last Adam was a perfect man, and I see him in the scriptures as perfect. When I read the word, I really do. I can see that he is the Son of God. But you know, there's something else. I can also see the evidence of his perfection. I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 91. I want to look at something that Gabe read this past week. Psalm 91, let's read verses 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, that they shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. I'm going somewhere with this. And what I'm saying is, our Lord in his life was absolutely perfect. And now I'm showing you the evidence of that perfection. You remember when our Lord was tempted of Satan, of our adversary? He told our Lord, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And the angels have charge over thee. And when you are cast down, you won't be hurt. If you used to stump your foot on a rock, nothing could happen to you. His life, our Lord's life, was perfect without sin. And not only in that he was sinless, but he was never harmed. When it says he was a lamb without spot or blemish, not only was he without spot or blemish spiritually, but he was without spot or blemish physically. In his life, the angels had charge over him because he was without sin and he could not be harmed. And it wasn't until he went to the cross that he was harmed. His whole life without harm. God would have been unjust if he would have tripped and fell and hurt himself. And when he went to the cross, God would have been unjust he had not been made sin. And so that's how I know. When I look at the cross, he was made sin. And God was just in smiting him. Now, if you'll turn back to Romans chapter 5. We know the wherefore, and let me summarize. We know the wherefore. How is the atonement received? The atonement is received by our Lord Jesus Christ. We were put into him, our federal head, and he was smitten. Now look at verse 18. Therefore, because of the wherefore, therefore, as by the offense of one, which was Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, our Lord Jesus Christ, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Now, what about Achan? Achan, from this chapter, I learned Achan is a picture of Adam. When Adam sinned against God, he took that which was God and stole it. That's what Achan done. He took that which belonged to God and stole it. And when Adam sinned against God, he and all his posterity, all that descended from him, died with him and received the curse with him. And so it was with Achan. When Achan sinned, the judgment fell upon his posterity. And they bore the wrath of their father. Like Adam, death came to all his posterity. And so, like Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ has represented us. And because of his righteousness, we can be made righteous.